Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
It's over.
Game over, man.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here. After a 4-3 Blackhawks loss to the Minnesota Wild before the three-day holiday break, let's go back to XL Energy Center and bring in Troy Murray for a game recap. Troy, you guys were mentioning it there at the very end. This wasn't the prettiest of games between the two teams, and the Blackhawks find themselves on the other end of it.
Just a kind of a sloppy game for both teams, but maybe it's what you would expect in a situation like this. Both teams getting the next 3 days off with the NHL holiday break. Maybe their minds were somewhere else, but the execution on both sides not where it needed to be, and some sloppy play, and Hawks end up on the wrong side of this one-goal game. All three games so far between the Wild and the Blackhawks have ended up in one-goal game. So they've competed hard. They just weren't executing tonight. They made some mistakes in their own end of the ice. Soderblom was decent in this game. You certainly can't blame them. But, they needed a better effort here tonight. Minnesota, I don't think, had their A game as well, but they found a way, and they take the victory.
Feels like the quick strike after a goal has kind of, it's been a theme for the Blackhawks lately. Over the last month or so, we saw the Hawks take a 2-1 lead in the second period. Jared Spurgeon then responds 49 seconds later, and that kind of helped, again, jumpstart Minnesota's little one-goal comeback. It was the second time they were down, 1-0, or they were down by a goal, and unfortunately the Blackhawks weren't able to build on that momentum.
No, I mean, you'd like to have that one big save from Soderblom or one last mistake, but, you know, again, give credit to Minnesota. You look at those two goals, and you're talking about in the second period, Foligno scored and then Spurgeon scored 49 seconds after. And you want to build on the momentum. You want to be able to hang on the lead, and the Hawks had it twice in this game and relinquished it to the Wild. And, they got to find a way to lock things down in a better fashion and make better decisions and maybe play a little bit of a safer game. It was sloppy and the execution wasn't good. They made some mistakes. And if you go back to basically all the Minnesota goals other than the empty netter, there was a situation prior to that individually that they could have made a better decision, maybe got it out of the zone at the right time. And those things start to come back to haunt you. And all of a sudden you get tired, your legs are fatigued, and you're in your own end of the ice. You're scrambling around, and Minnesota able to capitalize on some plays where the Hawks should have killed them earlier.
It was another game, though, where the Blackhawks made things interesting in the third period. Jason Dickinson scores that goal with a couple minutes left with the goaltender pulled. But then, unfortunately, Minnesota pulls away. So, I mean, credit to the Blackhawks for finding ways to, overcome some adversity. It's just them putting themselves in the position that's the frustrating part if you're Chicago.
Yeah, they got to find a way to, as I said, lock things down when they have the lead in games. It's just frustrating that they have leads and they give it up, and we've seen it happen several times. And I think it's something that they're really stressing, trying to work on. But there's two teams out there, and I think the urgency for the Blackhawks was there at the end. But you maybe bring that urgency a little bit more, empty the tank in the third period. You've got 3 days here rest before you play the Sabres on the 27th. So. No, just didn't get the job done, and I know, unfortunately, it's going to be a quiet locker room and a quiet ride for those who are heading back to Chicago. There's a couple guys that are going to stick around here and leave on their holiday break from Minnesota here. So, frustrating, and you don't want to go into the break on a down note. They lost the two games on this road trip. They battled hard, but just not able to get the job done.
One entire penalty in this hockey game. It was Connor Bedard interference. So the Blackhawks did not have a single power play. That kind of, when you have a game like that where it's basically just played at 5-on-5 the entire time, it's hard to get momentum, especially if you're the Blackhawks, where they've leaned heavily on that power play this season. And I think Minnesota was like 30th or something on the penalty kill and over their, you know, over the last couple months or the last couple weeks. And
yeah,
so that was
only two of their last 12 games have they not allowed at least one power play goal. So it would have been a great opportunity. But I think, Charlie, when you looked at the first period, the tone was set with the referees and how they were going to call this game. There could have been some tripping calls, some slashing calls, maybe some interference calls early on, and they let it go. And they kind of let it go the whole time, not that it was a physical game, so they didn't really have a whole lot of decisions to be made in this one. But, you know, you would hope that the Blackhawks would get at least one man advantage and try and capitalize. And when you're on the road, special teams are a huge part of it. If you can get those opportunities, 5-on-5, you don't generate any emotion in your game because you're on the visitor's ice surface. But at the same time, when you have an opportunity on the man advantage to get the job done, to make the difference, you would hope you would get that opportunity. They just didn't tonight, but I don't think they did enough to really draw penalties the way that they needed to.
So it's going to be a three-day holiday break for the entire NHL going into, you know, Christmas Eve. I know I'm gonna send you off now because you got to catch a flight, but I'm assuming also you got to do your last-minute Christmas shopping.
Yeah, I just wonder what's open at 12:30 at night when we get back into Chicago.
One of those
24-hour truck stops.
You're gonna have to get some Amazon Prime and have some overnight delivery. Start adding things to your cart.
Yeah, there will be panic mode setting in. There's no doubt about that.
Troy, have a Merry Christmas. Safe travels back. We'll talk on Friday.
Thanks, Charlie. Same to you. Everybody back at the station. All of our listeners. However you celebrate it, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. We love you guys, and thank you for everything that you do, and enjoy the three-day break.
Love you, Troy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right, that's the great Troy Murray from XL Energy Center in Minnesota. Hawks fall 4-3 to the Minnesota Wild. It's crazy. The Hawks have faced the Minnesota Wild three times this season. They had that overtime winner at the United Center. They had the Black Friday game. We all know what happened in that one. Hawks were up 2-0, ended up allowing two goals in 17 seconds, then lose that game 3-2 in regulation. And then in this game today, Hawks were up 1-0, and then they had a 2-1 lead. So they had a pair of one-goal leads in this game and unfortunately find a way to lose in regulation. And so you look at the three games the Blackhawks have played against the Minnesota Wild, and all three of them were very winnable hockey games. And I thought, again, today was not the Blackhawks' best effort. It wasn't the cleanest effort, the prettiest game by either team, but it was a very winnable hockey game. And it actually started in the first period. Minnesota thought they had scored the first goal of the hockey game. Brock Faber ends up scoring on a rebound attempt. The Blackhawks end up throwing out the red challenge flag. It was 3:01 into the first period. It was a fairly quick review by the Blackhawks, who I'm sure felt confident by the video team as well. But Matt Meacham and Adam Gill, I'm sure, notified the Blackhawks coaching staff that this is likely going to get overturned. The Blackhawks coaching staff agreed, challenged it, and it got overturned. And then the Blackhawks end up scoring the first goal of the hockey game thanks to Connor Bedard. It was a few minutes later, assisted by Taylor Hall. That's now his third assist in the last two games. But, you know, credit to the Blackhawks. I mean, they score the first goal. They end up, Minnesota responds back by Kirill Kaprizov, and then Chicago ends up going up 2-1. So unfortunately, the Hawks hold 2 1-goal leads in this hockey game and fight a way to lose in regulation. It's also the third time the Blackhawks have scored the first goal against Minnesota, and Minnesota is actually tied for second in the entire NHL with 20 goals scoring the first goal. And so the Blackhawks are number one in that department now at 22. And so it's a really hard hockey team to score the first goal. And the Blackhawks have found ways to do it in all three games. And unfortunately, they have just 2 out of a possible 6 points to show for it. I was also looking at the Minnesota Wild, the game notes. And so this is the 14th consecutive game against the Blackhawks where the Wild have recorded at least a point against Chicago. They're now 13-0-1, dating back to February 4th, 2020. And it says Minnesota has also earned a point in 10 consecutive games at Xcel Energy Center now. They are 9-0-1. That's dating back to February 10th of 2018. And I'm looking at that game right now. Or is this the 2018? I might have clicked on the wrong one. I'm looking at the one that has Colin Delia as the winning goaltender. Jonathan Toews scored in that goal in that game. Eric Gustafson scored. Alex DeBrincat scored. And so, man, it was a long time ago where the Blackhawks actually won in Minnesota. And so they just had their number. And unfortunately, I mean, the Blackhawks certainly had their chances. You know, looking at the raw numbers, so again, there was only one power play in this game, and it came from Minnesota. I think, is that the, that might be the first time all season the Blackhawks have not had a power play in a game, or it might be a second time. I know the Hawks went through that stretch last month where they had, it was five consecutive games where they had only one power play, and one of them was like a 17-second power play. I think it was the Dallas game because they went quickly to 4-on-4. And so, anyway, tough if you're the Blackhawks where you go into this game. I had mentioned, you know, in the pregame show how the Achilles heel for Minnesota was their special teams. They are 30th in the entire NHL in penalty kill at 69.4%, and they were only 22nd in power play percentage at 17.8%. And so, you know, Hawks unfortunately are not able to get anything on the power play because that's where they've made some of their bread and butter offensively this season. And when you play a really good Minnesota team that, oh, by the way, went into this game ranked second in expected goals against both at even strength and at 5-on-5, I mean, that's an opportunity for the Blackhawks to take advantage, and unfortunately they couldn't. Just looking at the raw numbers at even strength, so Minnesota led 57-51 in shot attempts. The shots on goal were actually 31-25 in favor of Chicago. The scoring chances, according to Natural Stat Trick, 25-22 Minnesota, and high quality chances 13-10 Minnesota. So it wasn't very lopsided at all. You know, unfortunately, the Blackhawks just can't find a way to even just pick up a point, like try to get this game into overtime. There have been so many instances this season where the Blackhawks feels like they deserved at least one point and just found a way to lose the hockey games. Like I think of, you know, I think of like the Islanders game. They were down 5-1. They almost rallied to force overtime. I look at the Toronto game. I know they lost 4-1 in that game, but I think they held Toronto. Was it 37 shot attempts? And the Anaheim game, the Hawks were up 3-2 or 2-1 going into the third. They squander that, lose 3-2 in regulation. Against Philly, they were up 2-0, lose 3-2 in overtime, so it deserved a regulation win, or they should have won in regulation, then only getting 1 point. So they have all these missed opportunities, unfortunately, for the Blackhawks, and they haven't been able to capitalize on it. We talked about the quick strikes, the shifts after goals, whether it's the Blackhawks scoring the first goal, or the Blackhawks scoring a goal, or whether it's the opponent scoring a goal and then quickly capitalizing. You know, I mentioned that Islanders game, the first one in New York, where the Islanders scored three goals in a span of like 2:17, and then two days later in New Jersey, Hawks gave up three goals in a span of 2:09 or 2:06, whatever it was. And then today, Hawks end up scoring to go up 2-1. 49 seconds later, Minnesota capitalizes, and it's just been a crazy run for the Blackhawks this season. And I actually didn't think it was as big of a concern for the Blackhawks in the first month. Like we really barely saw it. You know, I'm looking at credit to Jay Zawoski of CHGO. He ended up tweeting this out during the game. Jared Spurgeon's goal in the second period was the 16th time the Blackhawks had allowed a goal in 3 minutes or less after scoring a goal of their own. He says that's 18% of their total goals this season. I'm not going to fact check Jay on that. That sounds like it's correct just because of how much we've talked about it on these post-game shows. And so that's just been an alarming theme, whether it was under Blackhawks, former Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson. It's been a theme under Anders Sorensen. So it's clearly one of those things that the Blackhawks have been talking about behind the scenes. And I remember when Jason Dickinson, was talking about it after one of the games. Can't remember if it was the Islanders or New Jersey, but he was basically saying he was digging into the mental aspect of it and basically saying once you actually do it and you can protect a third or protect a lead, or you just prevent the unravelings from happening, then you can draw on that experience. But unfortunately, the Blackhawks have not been able to do that very much, and so they don't have that well to go to as much as they would like. And now it seems like, you know, starting to trend the other way again. You know, unfortunately, we talked about it on the pregame show today. Hawks string together three consecutive wins, all of them at home, for the first time since February of 2023, almost 2 years ago. And so then the Hawks have that third period comeback against Calgary, fall short, and then today end up, they were leading at two different instances, and then they do make that third period push, and they just can't find a way. And so you would like to see what a 5 or 6 game winning streak would do for this hockey team. You know, even the San Jose Sharks, man, what was their record to start? I think it was like 0-7-2 or something, and they were doing it without Macklin Celebrini. Yeah, it was 0-7-2, and then the Sharks went on a 3-game winning streak. You know, they won 4 of 6 games. You know, they started to string together some wins, and then later on, they also had a 3-game winning streak. I'm seeing Seattle. They had a big 8-5 win over Seattle, a 4-2 win over Seattle, 2-1 overtime win versus Washington. So you just wonder, you know, you see how many losses San Jose stacked in a row to open the season at 9 games, and you know, the Blackhawks, unfortunately, they finally win 3 games in a row, and now they lose back-to-back games in regulation, and it's unfortunate now they're going to have a three-day holiday break to sit on this, and you were hoping that the Hawks could take some momentum into the holiday break. That way it makes it easier to come to the rink on the Friday when they play Buffalo post-holiday break, but now it's going to be a tough flight back. I'm sure it's going to be a frustrating mood for the Blackhawks, and you know, unfortunately now they're going to have to find a way to bust out of this little slump as well. So let's take a quick break. We got some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room, and I think I saw Jason Dickinson spoke to the media, so we'll hear from Jason on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Loose puck in the far corner. Boldy's got it, tried to pin it against the boards. Vlasic took the puck away, tried to center, knocked away by Gustafson, and there's the horn, ending the hockey game. The Wild hang on and win the game 4-3. And with the loss, the Blackhawks' record now falls to 12-21-2, while with the win, the Wild are now 21-10-4. Hawks had several leads in this game, but just couldn't hold them and just couldn't close out the Wild on this night as well. We'll find out if they can do so the next time these two teams meet, which will be in late January. Here tonight in Minnesota, the Wild win 4-3.
Those were the final seconds of this game. Blackhawks falling to the Minnesota Wild 4-3 at XL Energy Center. The Blackhawks, they are now 0-4-0 when tied through two periods. So they are either leading or trailing going into the third period. This was just the fourth time this season the Hawks found themselves in a tie going into the third, and they are still winless in that category, 0-4-0. Let's go to Jason Dickinson, who spoke to the media after this game. He scored his 7th goal of the season in the loss, and hear what he had to say.
What do you make of that one?
We just kind of let it slip away a little bit. Going 2-2 into the third period is not a bad place to be on the road, and you know, we give up that one point shot there to make it 3-2, and they're able to sit back in a 1-1-3 and kind of control the pace of the play through the neutral zone and not really let us get in the zone, get any scoring chances. So it's kind of not a position you want to be in.
Is there something the Wild do in particular that makes it tough? I mean, I think that's 14-15 against that.
I mean, they're a high-skilled team. They cut up a lot. They're D-jump in the rush. They use 4 or 5 guys on the rush at all times. So it creates a lot of havoc and confusion in the D zone because they're moving around so much. And guys like Kaprizov and Zuccarello, they're really good at finding the seams and making that extra play that you think isn't there. They're really confident with the puck to make those plays, so it feels like they're flying around in the ozone making these plays that normally aren't there, and you're just kind of spinning around looking for what's next.
That Kaprizov line is so tough to hem them in, but is it even more frustrating when you kind of have a gimme like that goal that he had?
Yeah, but like, you call it a gimme, whatever, but that's kind of what they do. They're as much as they make that extra play cross seam, they also put pucks to the net and crash. So it's part of their MO. That's why they're so good, is because the puck goes to the net, they crash, they get it, they do it again. They get the puck, they do it again. So it's this repetitive cycle that, yeah, you can call it a gimme, but that's because they know what they're going to do with it, and they're so connected in that play that if the puck goes towards the net, one of us needs to slash through so that there's support to pick up the puck and create the next scoring chance. So I don't think it's necessarily fair to call it a gimme as much as it's a smart play that they understand one another.
That was Blackhawks forward Jason Dickinson. Let's pause really quick for station ID.
The Blackhawks, Wildcats, and the NFL play here on AM 720. On smart speakers, say play WGN Chicago.
So Jason Dickinson, that was his seventh goal of the season tonight against the Minnesota Wild. He actually scored a goal earlier in the season against Minnesota. It was the first game at the United Center where the Hawks won 2-1. Philip Kurashev ended up getting the scoring the overtime winner in that game. But yeah, listen, I think Jason brought up a good point. Like, you take a 2-2, it's 2-2 going into the third, and you said it's not a bad place to be. I think the frustrating part about that is the Hawks held two different leads in the game, where they were up 1-0 and then they were up 2-1. And so I think I think where Jason is getting at, though, is even though Minnesota came back to tie it on both instances, you'd like to see a little bit of a stronger push, or just the Blackhawks be stronger psychologically when things are starting to not go their way, or when Minnesota ends up tying it twice. Like, clearly, like, the momentum is going to start to tilt in the Wild favor, especially in their home building, where they are very good at this season. And you know, and Kirill Kaprizov, like, he was flying tonight for the Wild. And so his line as a whole, when you see that, you know that you're either going to have to keep this a tight checking game, or you're going to have to capitalize on your opportunities when you get them. And the Hawks certainly had their chances in this game. But yeah, so the Hawks were in a poor position going into the third period. You know, it was still a 2-2 game. You know, I thought they had looks, you know, but unfortunately, didn't capitalize. By the way, Minnesota, they came into this game on a 4-game losing streak in regulation. They were being outscored 16-4 over that stretch. They had previously got shut out by Winnipeg. I think it was 5-0. And so, if you're the Hawks, you looked at that, you're trying to recover from the Calgary game, but you're also trying to ride the momentum of winning 3 in a row prior to the Calgary game, and maybe you were catching Minnesota, you know, in a little bit of a vulnerable spot, but unfortunately that didn't happen. Also, the connection of Teuvo Teravainen and Ilya Mikheyev is something that we had talked about in the pregame show. Teravainen had 2 assists against Calgary, came into this game with 10 points in his previous 4 games. He was on a 4-game multi-point streak, and Ilya Mikheyev came into this game with a 4-game goal streak. That connection has been red hot for the Blackhawks over the last 4 games. Unfortunately, both of their streaks had ended. Mikheyev not finding the back of the net in this game. Teravainen nearly found the back of the net in the third period. He had a grade A scoring chance early in the third. It was a nice forecheck by Frank Nazar, steals the puck from the Minnesota defenseman, and then Teravainen's shot was stopped by Philip Gustafson, and then had a wide open net on the rebound. And I don't know what happened. Either the puck flubbed on his stick, or when he shot it, the puck just did not do what it wanted to do. And, you know, Teravainen just stared at the heavens and was like, oh my gosh, was it a perfect scoring chance? And then, of course, Minnesota goes the other way later on in that period to score the empty netter to make it 4-2 with 1:24 left. And so, man, that game-tying goal was right there on Teravainen's stick, and unfortunately, he wasn't able to capitalize on it. The speaking of that empty net goal, that was scored by Marcus Foligno. So both Foligno brothers ended up scoring in this game. Nick Foligno scored his eighth goal of the season in this game. He ended a nine-game goal drought, and then Marcus Foligno, of course, scored the empty netter. It's funny, because last year, it was the February 8th game, the Blackhawks faced the Minnesota Wild, and that was the first time that Marcus and Nick had scored in a regular season game together. I think they had they might have done it in a preseason game, but I remember going into that matchup, Nick was saying, you know, we've both been in the league for a long time and we haven't scored a goal in the same game. So now they've done it twice in the last couple seasons. You know, unfortunately, you were hoping that Foligno's would end up being, holding up as one of in a win, but Marcus ends up getting the empty netter for Minnesota. Let's go to Frank Nazar. I thought this was probably one of his best games in his Blackhawks career. I know he didn't have much to show for it outside of the assist, but man, it felt like he was generating a lot of chances. Let's hear what he had to say after this loss in Minnesota.
Well, what do you make of that game?
I mean, I think it was a good effort from our side. I think Sodi kept us in there the whole game, made some big saves, just letting loose for a shift or two and letting them kind of be able to buzz around in the D zone is something you just can't do against those guys. And seeing it firsthand and not just on TV was pretty crazy. But, yeah, they're a good team. And, I mean, they were looking to get that win before break. And I know that they weren't excited with how they're playing beforehand. So knew that they're going to show up and just got to be ready.
Does it feel like a lost opportunity to keep them that close and then not be able to cash in?
Well, I think any game that we lose is a lost opportunity, so I wouldn't say no to that. But, I mean, they're a great team, and being able to stick in there, you know, and just shows the resilience we have as a group here. And I thought we did a good job today and pushed back when we could. And, I mean, we had our chances too, so it's just executing.
What does that show with that Dickinson goal kind of fighting to the end there?
Shows that we're never going to give up. You know, it's kind of the Blackhawks here. Like, we're going to play it out no matter what the score is, and we're just going to keep going hard, and I'm happy that you got that one.
Are you happy about your first career assist?
Yeah, of course, but obviously would have felt a lot better with a win.
Yeah, it seemed like Calgary was maybe a bit tougher game for you, but it seemed like tonight there was a lot of offensive zone time and some good plays. Did you feel like things were clicking a little bit more for you tonight?
Yeah, I just felt a lot better out there, and I don't know, just days in, days out, you know, it doesn't change, you know, just how you feel that day. So came back after that game, just wanted to do better and not happy with myself. So try to do my best today.
During the break, are you going to reflect on your season to this point, or are you just going to kind of get away from the game?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, we only get a few days, so definitely going to spend some time with family and try to keep hockey out of it a little bit. But definitely look back at those games that been able to play and learn from them and be better and hopefully improve from today and keep that going forth.
That was Blackhawks rookie forward Frank Nazar. I'm going to give him my player of the game, which is sponsored by Burger King. Get your $5 Whopper Jr. today. You rule. I don't like giving this thing out to the opponent, so I'm just going to pick Blackhawks player of the game. And I think just highlighting him, I thought this was probably easily his best game of the season. Just the way that he was generating chances, the offensive zone time that his line as a whole had. So he played on a line in this game with Nick Foligno and Ryan Donato. In the previous few games, he had been on a line with Taylor Hall and Tyler Bertuzzi, but they kind of swapped wingers in this game. Bedard played with Hall and Bertuzzi, and then it was Foligno and Donato on the wings with Frank Nazar at center. And just looking at some of the underlying numbers too, when Frank Nazar was on the ice tonight against the Wild at 5-on-5, the shot attempts were 23-10 Chicago, 15-4 in shots on goal. They outscored Minnesota 1-0, and the scoring chances were 11-5, 6-2 high danger chances. So that line was certainly the best one that the Blackhawks had going. I thought Nazar was awesome. Picks up his first career assist on the Nick Foligno goal. Let's see. He finished with five shot attempts, two shots on goal in 16 minutes and 30 seconds of ice time. You know, I thought he probably would have gotten more if the Hawks had had more power plays, but this game was strictly played at 5-on-5 that, you know, the Hawks didn't have any opportunities to even get on the power play. But I did think it was noteworthy, too, that the Blackhawks threw him out there for the 6-on-5 opportunity at the very end of the game. You know, like, I didn't see Taylor Hall. You know, so I thought it was noteworthy that the Blackhawks, Anders Sorensen, rewarded Frank Nazar at the end of the game. And, you know, just kind of jotting down some of the chances that Nazar had. I even think if you rewind back all the way to the first period, he had that really nice spin pass to Nick Foligno that set up a scoring chance early in the game where Foligno gets the shot off on goal. He's battling for net positioning with his brother Marcus Foligno. And then later on in the period, Frank Nazar had a kind of a half breakaway chance all by himself. The play started in the neutral zone. It was a pass by Ryan Donato. Then Foligno finds Frank Nazar, and Nazar tried sneaking at five hole. And unfortunately, it was saved by Filip Gustavsson. And then I talked about the Teravainen shot, the wide open net that he missed that would have tied the game in the third period. It was the Nazar forecheck where he stole the puck from the Minnesota defenseman that ended up creating that opportunity for the Blackhawks. So yeah, definitely Nazar's best game of the season. Good to see that he has at least an assist to show for it. Probably could have had a little bit more too, depending on you know, just how the game evolved. But yeah, he's my Blackhawk player of the game in this one, and hopefully there are many more of those to come for the Blackhawks rookie. All right, we got more to get to here on the Blackhawks post game show, including our save of the game, and then we'll also hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen to get his thoughts. It's coming up next, right here on 720 WGN.
Ben Jones put the puck ahead of the Hawk line for Trennan. Take it back by the Hawks. Foligno put it to Nazar in front. He moves in and shoots, and Gustavsson down with a butterfly save. What a great chance for Frank Nazar to pick up his first goal of the season.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. And that sure was the save of the game. We talked about, you know, the grade A scoring chance from Frank Nazar, and that was it. Filip Gustavsson ended up returning to the lineup today. I think he was dealing with an injury. Made 28 saves on 31 shots for a save percentage of .903. I believe he continues to be undefeated against the Blackhawks. He's now 4-0-1 in five career starts against Chicago. On the flip side, Arvid Soderblom stopped 23 of 26 for a save percentage of .885. You know, Arvid played really well in Peter Mrazek's absence, and I thought it was noteworthy that he got this start for Chicago tonight, because it feels like the Hawks might lean more into a 1A, 1B type situation as Peter Mrazek works his way back from the groin injury. Mrazek had obviously returned against Calgary on Saturday, but I think two things here. Soderblom is playing so well that you kind of want to keep both goaltenders in a rhythm, but also, too, you don't want to overwork Mrazek, where he's dealt with the groin injuries for years, and he missed the almost 2 weeks with it, although part of that was because he had gotten the flu during his recovery, and so that knocked him out a few extra days when he felt like he was ready to return physically from the groin injury. But I thought it was noteworthy that Soderblom got this start, because it feels like we're going to see more of a 1A, 1B type situation for the Blackhawks. You know, just looking at the first game of the season, Mrazek got Utah, then Soderblom got Winnipeg, and then it was Mrazek, Soderblom, and then it was seven consecutive starts by Mrazek after that. Yeah, I think it was six or seven after that. I think that might have been the stretch where Arvid had gotten sick, and so they really rode Mrazek for quite a bit there. But I would not be surprised if the Hawks try to go to a 1A, 1B type situation, or at least closer to that than they have in the past, just to keep both goaltenders fresh. And Arvid has deserved it too, with four four wins in his previous five starts going into this game. All right, let's go to Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. Hear what he had to say about this 4-3 loss to the Minnesota Wild.
What's your overall takeaway with how this game played out?
I thought it was a little bit the same story, right? A little bit late again. I thought we were okay, fine, up to 2-2. We got scored on again after we scored, which is not ideal. And then 2-2, I thought we hung in there and pretty good road game at that point. And then, yeah.
Can you explain what happened on the Kaprizov goal? Did someone just kind of lose track of where it was or think it went in?
Yeah, I think he lost track of it, yeah.
It seemed like it was just kind of tough to break them down once they got the lead. The 1-1-3 was just impenetrable. What did you think of the pushback?
Well, I like the pushback we scored, right? I thought, when they got into that 1-1-3, we got caught standing still a little bit. So we got to have a little bit more motion there.
What do you think of Nazar tonight? It seemed like he had kind of a bounce-back game after Calgary.
Yeah, I liked his game a lot, yeah.
You mentioned it feels like the same old story. So how do you change that narrative when you kind of look at things? You need more of a complete game, or what are some particulars that you want to come back after this break addressing?
The biggest thing, I think, is when the game is on the line, it's a 2-2 game, right? We got to be willing to go and play offensively at the same time. I thought we got sat back a little bit too much there, right? Mm-hmm. I thought we did that in the home games we played, but these past two road games, not so much.
Do you feel like some of that's just kind of breaking old habits, of that you want them to get more aggressive and they do that initially, but then once it gets a little bit more adversity, their kind of instinct is to pull back?
Yeah, it's going to be a process for sure, yeah.
But what can you do to kind of counteract that or break those habits?
Well, we talk about it, work on it, show it. Like I said, it's going to be a process for sure. It's baby steps, and then unfortunately these last two games were not what we wanted, so we just got to keep getting back to work here.
What do you think about the push at the end? The push at the end and the Dickinson goal.
Good. Liked it.
Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen, a man of many words. He is always short, concise, to the point. That's one of the things I like about him. I'm sure players like about him is how direct he is, but yeah, a little bit too late, or a little bit late. We was talking about the third period offensive production. While he was talking, I was looking up how many goals the Blackhawks have scored in the third period this season. So I was like, man, they got to be among the league leaders at this point. All these third period eruptions where they score three against Calgary, they scored four against or three against the Islanders in the third. Three third period goals against the Washington Capitals. I mean, all these third period goals. And I was shocked to find that the Blackhawks are tied for 27th in the NHL with 31 third period goals. That's shocking to me. Although probably the first half of the season, I don't think the Blackhawks scored very many. So in some ways it's encouraging. I mean, it's another game where the Blackhawks were leading, tied, or trailing by one in the third period. It's only been one game this season where they haven't, where they've kind of felt out of it in the third, which is kind of bizarre because there have been several instances this season, or several instances in the last couple weeks, where the Hawks have been trailing by more than a goal in the third period, or more than even two goals or three goals, and they've found ways to really claw back. So credit to the Blackhawks for doing that. I think the frustrating part is the position that they find themselves in the third period. I was talking about it earlier about Hawks had 2 1-goal leads in this game. When they scored the first goal, then they were up 2-1, and then they somehow find a way to just not pick up any points in this game. I think that is the frustrating part, where you can't even look at some overtime losses or just racking up some points. If you look at the NHL standings, it's kind of crazy. The entire NHL, not just the Western and Eastern Conference, but the entire NHL has been very weird this year. So right now, the Calgary Flames, they're sitting in the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. The Blackhawks are dead last with 26 points. But think about all the one-goal games that the Blackhawks have been in. And Troy had mentioned on the broadcast, it was the 14th time the Blackhawks have allowed or given up an empty net goal. And so you look at the Blackhawks' goal differential, and it's minus 21. But if you eliminate the empty netters, I mean, the Hawks are in the single digits in goal differential. I mean, it's remarkable how they're sitting dead last
in the NHL in that department. But just think of all those close games that the Blackhawks have been in where they lead Philly 2-0, only get a point. They led Minnesota in the last Black Friday game, they get nothing. They led twice in this game, pick up 0 points. You know, they led 2-1 going into the Anaheim game. They pick up 0 points. I mean, there's so many instances this Blackhawks season where it goes down to the wire and they can't even force overtime when it feels like they deserve at least a point. And so if you give the Blackhawks, I know this is not realistic, but just bear with me. Like if you give the Blackhawks 6 or 7 extra points that they have this season, like they would be closer to a playoff spot than they would in the bottom of the standings. Like that's how tight the West has been this year, but also that's the margin for error this season, like how tight it is that if you're not picking up points, you know, things just look so much different. Like even if you gave the Blackhawks 5 extra points that they have, they would be closer to Seattle, or like they would be 4 points away from St. Louis, and like St. Louis is starting to ride into a playoff spot the way they're playing. And so it's just a weird season it's been in the entire NHL. But I think if you're the Blackhawks, you that's the frustrating part, where they're in games, they're scoring the first goal, they lead the entire NHL in that department. The third period comebacks lately have been impressive, but they play themselves far too much out of it by the third period, that it's been too little too late in those thirds. And so it's another tough another tough game for the Blackhawks where they just pick up 0 points. Also, by the way, Seth Jones, so he's played the last couple games now. He returned in Calgary. Certainly looked a little rusty, and even in this game he finished with a -3 rating. Didn't play as many minutes as he did the last game. I think the last game he was north of, was he 25 or 26 minutes coming out of an absence where it was 5 weeks and he missed 14 games with that right foot injury and only had one practice. And so I was a little surprised by that, but even today he finished with a -3 rating. And I just think it's going to take him a little bit to get acclimated. Cause you also have to remember with Seth, he's trying to adapt to Sorensen's new system as well. And even though he benefits, the way he plays benefits, he's going to benefit from the system change with defensemen being more aggressive, jumping in the rush, pinching it offensively. You see the defenseman stats lately of the Blackhawks contributing more in that department. But I do think not only is Seth trying to, you know, he's done a lot of video work, and he was talking to us before the Hawks left for this road trip that he's been involving himself in every coach's meeting so that when he did return to the lineup, he felt pretty much ready to go and all the assignments. But until you're actually experimenting it or experiencing it with the 5-man unit on the ice, it could be a little difficult to kind of get your bearings. And so I wonder if it's a little bit of that, along with the rust of just being off for 5 weeks. And again, he plays so many minutes for Chicago too, that naturally he's going to make more noticeable mistakes than others just because he's seemingly out there every other shift. And so when you're on a team that's dead last in the NHL, you know, that's just naturally going to happen. But it's good to have Seth Jones back. I think it's going to take him a few more games to get acclimated. But once he does get acclimated, he is going to provide that nice stability on the back end. And then hopefully that the Hawks will get back Alec Martinez soon as well. And they can have a full defenseman crop again for the Blackhawks. All right, we got one more break to get to. And then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks post-game show after this on 720 WGN.
Bryson slides it across. Good movement here by Buffalo off puck. Up top, Bryson with a shot. That one, that's in the net. I think that's a goal. That sounded like it didn't hit anything, and it came right out, and indeed it is.
Those cheers you heard in the background was for his first career NHL goal, but also the Buffalo Sabres have finally won a hockey game. That call was credited to MSG Network, by the way. They were in New York to face the Islanders, and I was doing, you know, first intermission, second intermission score updates, and it was like 2-1 Buffalo, and it was great, you know, and then it was 4-1 Buffalo, and it was like, okay, cool, still time left. And looking at the final score, the Buffalo Sabres won 7-1 against the New York Islanders. And that brings us to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be in Buffalo on Friday at 6 o'clock, right out of the three-day holiday break at KeyBank Center. So it's going to wrap up. Technically, it's going to wrap up a three-game road trip, but the Hawks are flying back to Chicago tonight. Then they're going to be flying out to Buffalo at 7 a.m., kind of like a preseason-type feel for it, where they're going to fly in on a game day, have morning skate, and then play the Buffalo Sabres. Tonight was the first win by the Sabres since November 23rd, which was exactly a month ago. That was before Thanksgiving. It was a 4-2 win over San Jose in that game. Boy, it has been a disastrous season for the Sabres, who brought back head coach Lindy Ruff, who was a longtime coach for the Buffalo Sabres years ago. And the Sabres were 0-10-3 in their previous 13 games prior to this game. They had 28 goals over that stretch, but 53 goals against, for a goal differential of minus 24. And their special teams were disastrous. 31st in the NHL at 8.3%, and the penalty kill 69.2%, which is 26th over that stretch. Man, I thought it was noteworthy. Lindy Ruff, he had some comments the other day after, I think it was their 12th loss in a row, but he basically, like, he ran out of answers. And I was like, this guy's been around the NHL for so long, and he was unsure of, how to get his team out of that situation. And the good news is, I guess, for Buffalo is Rasmus Dahlin, their captain, is back in the lineup. He had missed seven games with back spasms, and he was off to a terrific season prior to getting hurt. So fortunately for Buffalo, they're going to have him back. But yeah, I got a feel for Sabres fans, because they've had some tough sledding. Their last playoff appearance was April 26th. 2011. Just for context, Hawks hadn't even won their second of the three cups yet. So it was a long, long time ago. All right. I mentioned this in the pregame show, and I want to give it some postgame love to finish off this show. I did a prospects update, and I'm mentioning his name for the second time in 2 weeks. Roman Kantsarov. He's a Blackhawks second round pick in 2023, number 44 overall. He had shoulder surgery in May and knocked him out until November. And he's playing in the KHL this season, which is Russia's top league. And he scored two goals again today, including the overtime winner, to extend his point streak to 5 games. And now he has 17 points, 9 goals, 8 assists in 18 games. And credit to Ace the Kid on Twitter, who put this out. Kantsarov's 0.944 points per game in the KHL this season, if he continues on this pace, it would be the highest pace in the 20-year-old's season in the KHL history, if he's able to maintain it. The previous record for most points per game by a 20-year-old in the KHL are two guys named Kirill Kaprizov, who the Hawks saw tonight and has been a Hart Trophy candidate this season, and Vladimir Tarasenko at 0.87. Also on this list, Evgeny Kuznetsov, he's right under them at 8.63. And then if you go a little bit further down the list, Artemi Panarin is on the list at 0.64. So, man, Kantsarov is kind of a guy that's been flying under the radar for the Blackhawks in the prospect pipeline, but he is turning in a terrific season in the KHL. His projected pace for this season is 24 goals and 19 assists for 45 points in 47 games. Just for context, he had 15 points in 53 games last season. So keep an eye on this guy if you're the Blackhawks, and hopefully he turns pro soon, because I'm sure Chicago would love to get him in the system. Blackhawks Hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Alan Poppy. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Minnesota, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 4-3 Blackhawks loss to the Wild. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you on Friday, and have a Merry Christmas, everybody.